Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody here. We're going to take a sermon. Used to call it a lesson, but Brother Manning said these are sermons from God's Word, and that's what we're going to study. In the scripture that Thomas read so well for us in Matthew 15, we see that things that we do can be in vain. And we might sincerely be doing them, but there's some things that we need to be careful of, and that's what our lesson is, our sermon this morning. It's about to honor. And I'd like for us to think about what it means to honor. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Well, what's it mean to honor our mother and father? You know, do we have a clear concept of what that word to honor means? Well, I thought I did until I prepared this sermon here. How necessary and important in God's plan of salvation is this concept of honor? And we'll see that it's very, very important. It's very necessary. We can't be saved, in fact, without the proper concept and doing what it is that God wants us to do. Honor is necessary to perfection, for Christians to have all of their parts to be complete, another word that's oftentimes misunderstood. And it's important that we know what God's understanding of honor is. We don't want to put our own interpretation on that. God has told us pretty plainly what this is, so that we can honor him properly in the way he wants and not by what we think it means. Well, what do we think of when we use this word honor? Do we honor our parents by praising them? Sounds good. By obeying them? By respecting them? Not really. These things are not honor. I mean, yes, they're present. If we honor our parents, if we honor our parents, we will do those things, but they themselves are not that honor. You know, we should not mistake the things that go with honor for the honor itself, lest we be fooled. If we do that, we miss the point of what honor really is, and in fact, we may not be honoring at all when we think we are, and we don't want to be in that circumstance. We don't want to find out our worship is vain. We don't want to find out that our honor is vain. Well, is honor praise? Well, if we praise, are we honoring? Well, what did it say in Matthew 15 and verse 8? "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips," but what? "Their heart is far from me." He said they're honoring me with their lips, but he says not the real thing. This was not honor to God, the words from their lips. No, something was missing. It was their heart. What about obedience? Is honor obedience, as in, you know, honoring the speed limit we talk about? Is the act of obedience honor? Well, in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 25, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup, but within are full of extortion and excess." Remember, he was telling the Pharisees and the scribes, I mean, you do all the laws, you know, you obey these things, but you ignore the weightier matters of the law, wisdom and justice. In other words, their heart wasn't there. They weren't honoring God. Something was missing. They did the deeds, but their heart, the inside, as it said here, was wrong. So honor isn't just obedience. Well, is honor respect? Well, here in Matthew 22, 15 to 16, we have the Pharisees addressing Jesus, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Master, we know that thou art true," calling him master, "teach us the way of God and truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men." Well, that was what? An outward show of respect. I mean, if anybody listened, they couldn't condemn them for the words that they were speaking, but we know in their hearts that something was wrong. And that they did it hypocritically, didn't they? In other words, they did it not from the heart, not out of sincere belief in these things. And we, in turn, can pay respect even without hypocrisy, but still not honor. And, you know, consider a soldier saluting. You know, he may not think of the man, much of the man or the person that's there, but what will he do nonetheless? He'll salute out of respect to the rank and to tradition and such things. But he's not honoring him, is he? So honor is not respect. It, you know, if we honor it, we'll go along with that. No, these things, praise, obedience, respect, are not honor by themselves. In fact, without honor, they are empty things. Praise is an empty thing by itself. Obedience is an empty or vain thing by itself. Respect can be an empty or vain thing by itself. And when we think about it, we can praise God, or we can obey God, or we can respect God, but those things can be in vain if something is missing, as we saw in the scripture. You know, respect, praise, obedience, these are actions we take, but it isn't really actions that God's concerned about, is it? What is he really concerned? I mean, they're important, but our hearts are also important. What prompts us to these actions is very important, the key thing. And that's what we see about honor. Honor must involve our hearts. The Lord wants our hearts. This is the eternal part of us, the part of us that will ever, forever, the part that will be with him, and this is what he's interested in. In 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 1, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know, you just have a little symbol, ding, 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 ding. You know, if our hearts aren't there, if charity is not there in what we do. Without our hearts behind it, without charity, without love, our praise is merely what? A tinkling cymbal. Remember, you remember the verse that was read earlier, Matthew 15, verse 8? This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but what? Their heart is far from me. And God wants our hearts to be close to him. And this isn't a close like a next to or alongside, you know, putting your arm over God. He wants our hearts to be close to his in form, in the shape, in the manner of his heart, in the loving heart that God has for us. This is how God wants us to be close to him. Well, we've defined what honor isn't, but let's look at the scripture here and see what, in fact, honor, what God says honor is. Well, it comes from a Greek word, tamao, and it means to prize, to put a value on. I mean, to consider it of great value. And it was translated this way once in the King James here. The word honor is used here, the Greek word tamao. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver and the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. Where's that word honor, tamao? It's that word value. And that's the only time, it's one of the few times it's translated like that. Most of the time, the honor that we see in the New Testament is translated, you know, from this word to value or to prize. So when we honor something, Dan, what do? Well, we see it as valuable. We prize it. And that's the way honor is used most of the time in the New Testament. This is what God means of honor, that we consider it of great price, of great value. And there's a lot of things to go along with that, as we'll see here in a minute. Now, in the King James, a few times, the English word honor comes from a Greek word, doxa, which means to glory. And or praise in that sense. The great majority of time, however, doxa is translated glory in the New Testament when we see it. Wish they had translated that way all the time, because here in this verse, John chapter 5, verse 41 to 44, this word honor comes from this word doxa, which means to glory. And it makes a lot of sense here. You know, whereas if we said honor meant to prize or value, I receive not honor from men. Yeah. Do we got a contradiction here? No, because they're different Greek words. I receive not glory from men. Yeah, what if a liar came up to an honest man and said, oh, you're such a good man, I just admire you telling the truth all the time and such. You know, what would be the thought? Well, why don't you tell the truth then, instead of being a liar, if you admire it so much? In the same way, Jesus can't, in a sense, receive honor or glory from sinful men, just of ourselves. We can do so by obeying him and such in these things. But honor that we're talking about is that Greek word tamao. It means to prize or to value. And we can see also that men can value their opinions and their honor more than God. And so then, you know, when we put things in a value, you're given a choice between something. What are you going to choose most oftentimes? Well, the thing that is most valuable. And men, when they choose the things of men instead of the things of God, are saying what? These things of men are more valuable to me than the things of God. We prize, you know, we need to value God and his word. We need to honor value Christ. And we seek it out and we hold it close to us and we don't let it be taken from us. Why? Because it's of great value. And this then is when we're honoring Christ, what are we doing? We're holding on to these things. We're searching in his word and say, that's what he wants us to do. This is what he wants our hearts to be like. And we prize what he has called us to this glory of this calling, the church being the called out. Now we consider it the highest calling, what it is we want to achieve. And we replace the lesser things of the world with what? The more valuable things of God. And we understand this in the world. Cleaned out some drawers the other day, dresser drawers. And what did I do? Well, I looked in this thing and I said, well, here's some things that need to be in there. Well, those aren't valuable. Pitch those out and I can put the things that are valuable in there. In the same way with us, the things of God that are valuable we hold, the things of the world, what do? Get rid of it. It's just taking up room. Well, let's consider some verses here. As we reconsider what this word honor means, Ephesians 6, 2 and 3, honor thy mother and father, prize them, value them. Parents want to give good things to their children. Well, if the children honor their parents, how will they receive these things the parents give them? Well, they will value these things as important. It's that way with God. It's the way also with our physical parents if we honor them. Now, our parents may give us spinach to eat. We should value that. Kids, we get a pair of socks for a birthday present. Your parents, we need to value that thing. But is that really what he's talking about, these physical things? But there's spiritual qualities our parents want to give to us that we need to value. And all of us need to value. That we say, this is a pearl of great price. I need to hold on to this thing. The values our parents try to give us, the spiritual things they want to give us. Sharing, loving, kindness, forgiveness, mercy, patience. When we have children, isn't that something parents try to instill in all their children? And if parents honor their children honor their parents, what will they do? They'll listen. They'll take these things. I won't beat up my sister anymore because, parents said, don't do that. And that's right. I shouldn't be doing that. And this is how, indeed, we can honor God. We'll obey them, not because we have to, but because we honor them. We consider what they're doing of great value, what they're offering us of great value. If we honor our parents, we will praise them, won't we? We will respect them, not because we want to butter them up to get more, but because we value what they have done for us. We prize them. We honor them. So if we value our parents, children honor your parents, we value them, this is what indeed we will do. But what of our Heavenly Father? Do we honor what he has offered us? In John 5, 22 and 23, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. To not value Jesus, to not count him of great price, to say, I'm not going to put aside the lesser things, I've got to hold on to them. We're saying those things are more important to us, or just as important as what? As Jesus and what he wants us to be. We should value Jesus' words and obey them, not because we have to, not because we don't want to go to the bad place, but because we value what God has given us, his Son, and the promise of eternal life with him. We can do these things, but where is our heart? Why are we doing this? Why are we obeying God? Is it just because we don't want to go to hell? Or is it because indeed we value him and he showed us how much he means to us? This is why we obey. This is why we praise God. Now, the Jews didn't value God's word as much as their own. John chapter 8, verses 48 and 49, he gave the example and said, they answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou hast art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered and said, I have not a devil, but you honor my Father and you dishonor me. They honored themselves. They valued their opinions and thoughts more than those of God. He gave another example when he said, God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, the Jews here, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever that might be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, not really valuing them, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Would we do that? I mean, would we look for ways to circumvent God's word? We won't if we value God, if we honor him, as indeed we should. I mean, can we be saved without honoring God, without valuing what he has put before us? No. You know, if you look in salvation, you say to be saved, you should honor God? No. But when we learn what it means that we need to value God, to put away the things of this world, instead hold on to what he's given us, we have to do that, you know, for our salvation. That leads then, this scripture here leads into that scripture we read. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They valued themselves and their traditions more than God. They didn't value God and his son. They dishonored God in that case. Are we dishonoring God? Rhetorical question. Don't answer. Don't hold your hand up. Okay. Don't want to know yes or no. But it's a question that will be asked on Judgment Day. Yeah, he's going to say, you didn't honor me. We'll say, yeah, I praised you. I obeyed you. I respected you wrong. You didn't value him enough to put aside the things of this world, to put aside all the things we shouldn't be doing, and instead replace them with the things that God gave us. Remember Esau? And what he was remembered for? Remember he thought this birthright was of such value that he could trade it for what? One meal. And what does God think of that? Well, this is what he said. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He didn't honor God. He didn't honor his birthright. It was of no value to him. And if God has held out this prize of heaven, the calling of heaven, and we say, well, you know, I'm going to play around a little bit. I'll catch up with him later. What's he going to call us? He's going to think of us here as a profane person in these things. Do you see the necessity and benefit of honoring God? We must prize and value God's will for us. And God's will must displace and eliminate our will. And this is necessary for us to do. You know, we throw away the lesser to keep the more valuable. And what's so hard about that? I mean, is it really hard to throw things away that aren't valuable to you? No. What makes it hard then? Well, we think they might have some value. Well, I don't know. I might use that someday. It might have some value to me. Are we hanging on to the world like that? You know, are we thinking these things? Remember in Hebrews it said, truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have what? They might have had opportunity to return. You know, do we want to go back to what we were? No, well, don't be thinking about these things that God has put before us. We shouldn't want to hold on to those lesser things. If we do, what are we telling God? Well, that we value them, you know, as much as the things of God. And look what this does to us here, the reason why this is such a hindrance. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, his own desire, and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Well, how can we eliminate sin? Well, we can eliminate this lusting after the things of this world. We can covet earnestly the best things, the things of God. We can value and say, yes, God's things are of such value that nothing else counts. We do that in the real world. You know, we go into our attic or in our garage or anywhere we have a pile of junk we've been holding on to forever, and we say, it's no valuable. It's not no value to me anymore. We get rid of it. In the same, that's what we have to say about God and the things that he's held out to us, and it's for our salvation that we'll do that. Every good gift, every perfect is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Do we believe that? How are we acting? It's more important. Because we can fool ourselves in our beliefs, can't we? Yeah, I can say, oh yeah, I do this, but no. We know what our actions are, and our actions speak louder than our words. We need to look at our actions, each and every one of us, in these things. When we value and prize the things of the world, we indeed lust after them, and from this comes sin, and all good comes from God. So we must honor God, value his qualities, and want them for us, If not, we value ourselves instead and the things of this world, and we lose. But God has told us what to value and prize. Honor all men. What does that mean? Does it mean respect them? You know, tip your hat to them? Oh, yes, brother. Or does it mean to value all men? Yeah, it has a different meaning when you think of it like that, doesn't it? Now, did God value us? Very much so. How should we value other people? Such so, you know, that we'll do anything for them. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. Well, who's my friend? Should be everybody. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. When we understand that word honor, these things, you know, have a new meaning for us also, as they should. You know, God does. God considers us all valuable. He sent Jesus to die for us. You know, he says he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. What should we be like? Remember, he wants us to be close to him. Their hearts are far from me. Our hearts need to be close to him. Our hearts need to be like his, so that indeed we honor or value others just as God indeed honors and values them. We must honor God. Excuse me. Well, the value is commandments and obey them because we want the prize. Jesus honored the Father and was obedient. Remember he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nonetheless, not as my will, but thine. You know, we must replace our old will, just as our Lord did, with what God wants us to do. Romans 2 and 6 and 7, he will reward us. He says, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. By patient continuance, we seek what? Seek honor. Will God really honor us? Will God value us? Well, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You know, we obey Jesus. You know, we love him. We value him. We take the things that, you know, he's given to us and throw aside everything else and say, this is what I want to keep. If we serve Christ, what does God say? He will honor us. If we value Jesus, if we give it all that we have up for him instead, God will value us. He will honor us as we have honored him by believing on Jesus whom he sent. Honor him, not by mumbling. And how do we do this? Let's put this, you know, right here. How do we honor him? Well, it's not by mumbling words to a song. Remember he said, sing, make melody in your hearts, teaching it in mind. Not, you know, we can just move our lips when we're doing that. No, when we sing, it needs to be what? Hallelujah. You know, how great thou art. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way. You know, and come go with me to those hilltops of glory. I mean, we need to believe that. We need to realize these things are valuable. We honor God when we count these things of value. And then when we sing about it, how will we sing? We'll be like Brother Porter shouting, hallelujah. Remember him? So, honor him, not by warming a pew, you know, wishing we were out fishing or shopping some great sales, but coveting his every word, saying, oh, this is valuable. I need to get there. You know, Brother Manning has studied the Word of God, and he'll break that word to me. And this is valuable. I got to have it. And this is how we need to be about our worship, our getting here, wanting to learn more, so we can hear someday, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Honor him, not by grudgingly putting a few dollars in the collection plate, by giving sacrificially till it hurts, knowing that Jesus, as Ken so well reminded us in the Lord's table, Jesus hurt a lot for us, didn't he? Can we hurt for him? I mean, we don't have to sit here and pound nails into our hands. You know, we don't have to sit here and cut ourselves with knives. But there are ways that we can do this, you know, by counting the church that he died for of great value and supporting it in the work that the church wants to do. You know, in our giving, we need to do these things. We honor him by that giving, saying, I value these things that Jesus died for highly. We honor him by learning and telling others the reason of the great and valuable hope that lies within us and the prize of heaven that we're looking forward to. Have you been to the Bible classes? Know what we're studying? Hope you do. We're studying a DVD, Searching for Truth. This is a deep that we can give out to people to explain the great hope that was within us. And he's not far from every one of us. Where is he? He's right here in the words of his book, his holy word. And from his word, we can learn today what God would have us to do. Yes, as servants, as those who have been bought by the blood of Christ, if we honor our master, we will do his will. We will be obedient if we value these things that he's given us to do. We will praise him for his great generosity and love. We will respect him for the great sacrifice he made if we value him, if indeed we honor him. And is this some big thing we do? Is this like, well, I'm going to do this for you, God. Now watch. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What did he do there? He honored us, didn't he? He counted us of value, so much so that Jesus would come here. And this is the honor that we need to give God, because God has given it first. He's honored us. He's shown us he's valuable. He sent his son to die on that cross. Well, this morning, will you honor God? Yes, if you think the hope is valuable, if you think heaven is really a prize to be obtained, it's something I want, then you can honor God. But do you think that? You know, have you come to the conclusion that yes, indeed, I want to honor God. I want to count as valuable what he's given me. I want to put aside all the other things in this world and instead take what God has done. You know, I want to say that I value his word, not man's word. And I want to prize this glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. You know, it's not what the God of this world, Satan, offers. Satan offers what? Money, power, popularity. And God has a word for this. When we clean house, when we haul out the trash, when we pitch out the things that we don't value anymore to make room for the better things, when we get rid of our wants, our desires, ourselves, when we replace these things with honor towards God, prizing what he values and not what we want, does God have a word for that? It's called repentance, is what it is. And this is what brings us to repentance, to realizing God, there is a God. He loves us so much that Jesus would die for us. He values us. He honors us. And as created beings, you know, we need to honor him. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Yes, God has a word for that. It's called repentance, a change in mind. When we honor God, we'll repent. And we'll confess the name of the only one by whom we can reach God, which is the name of Jesus. And then we'll be baptized out of obedience to his command, because that old man is dead. We bury him in the waters of baptism. We come into the contact with the blood of Christ, which washes us free from sin. And then we rise from those waters of baptism, a new man, to walk in newness of life. And it says, as in 1 Peter, as since, you know, newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. You know, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. So you can honor God this morning. You can say, yes, I believe the things you offer me are of great value, so much so that I'm just going to chuck everything here in the world. I mean, we have responsibility in the world that we take care of, but you know, the things that we live for ourselves, we need to put aside and instead do these things for God. So this morning, we're ready to help you with that. You've heard the gospel. You know, it's right here in God's word. You know, if you'd like to be baptized into Christ, we can do that. If you need the prayers of the church, we can help you with that also. Let us know as we stand and sing.